recording and broadcast.
We're live. Commissioner Crosius.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is 10:01 a.m. on April 1st, 2020. I'm Commissioner Brian Crosius, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchak and Commissioner Randy Christman. We are actually all calling in today with the exception of one individual on staff who is at the office in the hearing room. But for obvious reasons, we're calling in, telecommuting as a part of this meeting today. And it is unique. Just without question, it's an unprecedented time. And I want to thank our governor, the healthcare workers, critical sector workers, and everyone involved with dealing and fighting COVID-19. And of course, prayers and thoughts to those who have lost loved ones as a result of this. We are still moving forward at the commission via telecommuting, interactive video. Staff has adapted extremely well. They're doing a fantastic job. So thank you to everyone for making that happen because we still have to move forward and get our work done. And while it's certainly not business as usual, we're cognizant that companies still need to effectively plan for the future. And many of the cases we process are forward-looking in nature, and that's particularly true with siting. While some energy companies are curtailing capital expenditures because of the low commodity pricing, we also know that based on history, this is temporary in nature, and it might be measured in months, it might be measured in several years, we don't know, but some are still wanting to move ahead, and these things have always been driven by, pricing has always been driven by monetary policy, supply and demand, geopolitical events like we're currently seeing, and of course the unique health situation that we're dealing with. Eventually things will return to normal, and our job in the meantime is to make sure that we're processing cases effectively. And we're also working with the governor's office to that effect to have a bit more leeway in terms of logistics when it comes to citing cases in particular, location of the hearing, for example, that type of thing. But I can assure the public that the requirements will be no less stringent in nature. And then most importantly, April is Safe Digging Month. So remember to call before you dig. And I think with a lot of people at home, homeowners in particular, are going to want to do the landscaping type projects and things that they can do without violating the social distancing requirements that are out there right now. But always call before you dig and make sure that you do it safely. So was happy to see the governor sign the proclamation as well on Safe Digging Month. Now, what I'm going to do is, as we get into opening comments from the other two commissioners, if you could just give me the cue when you're done, and we'll do the same with the four cases that are on the docket today on the regular agenda. If you could do that as well, that would be helpful. And then we'll know to move on to the next commissioner. So Commissioner Fedorchak.
Good morning. Thank you, Commissioner Crosius, for those good opening remarks. I echo your appreciation for all the folks and just want to double down on the comments for our staff. I really appreciate the adaptability, the perseverance, and the innovation that our staff have really shown in order to get us all up and running, pretty much all of us, except for a few core staff who have to be in the office. Everybody's working remotely and still producing really good work. We had an interactive telecommunications call with our directors yesterday and heard from all of them that they're getting daily reports from folks and they're still working through all their business. So our hats off to Matt, Cheryl, and Steve, particularly on the technology side. I know it's involved a lot of extra hours and really makes a big difference. So very proud of the work we're able to do, even from a remote standpoint, and keeping moving on the important applications that are in front of us that companies are waiting for and hoping for. And I really I look forward to keeping adapting and keeping moving on a lot of these cases at this key time where, you know, there's a few months time every year where we have a lot of permitting to do in advance of the construction season. If we don't do that permitting, companies could be a whole year behind. And so we're determined not to do that. If the companies have to pull back, we understand, but we don't want them to be slowed up by our inability to keep the permitting process moving forward. So with that, that concludes my opening comments, and I'll turn it back over to you, Commissioner Krosius.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Fedorchak. Commissioner Christman.
Thank you. Nothing really new to add, but I will just add a little bit to things that you both have said. First of all, again, thanks to our staff and to highlight what Commissioner Fedorchak said about our IT staff keeping us going and our admin staff. It also needs to be remembered that our IT staff as one of three promoted to another position. So he's doing kind of double duty, and so they're stretched thin anyway, even without this additional burden. So thanks to everybody. You had mentioned safe digging months, Commissioner Krosius, and I know you've said this before and others have said it before, but it's always been a catchphrase that hits home with me. So since you didn't say it today on the first day of safe digging month, I'll throw it out again. Remember, people, it's much better to call 811 before you dig than to have to call 911 after you dig. So there's always that. Lastly, regarding our work and staying nimble and responsive as people deserve and expect across the state, you both have talked about our siting load and the importance of moving forward with these cases in a timely manner, because if the companies do choose to follow through on their plans, even in this difficult time in the oil and gas industry, they need the construction season. Otherwise, it makes probably a whole year's difference in the timeline. And right now, with our economy going through the struggles it is, these jobs are going to be more important than ever. And right now, we have two cases on our agenda to vote on today that we had hearings on earlier. We had a hearing Monday, and we have three more coming up in April. Altogether, these six cases represent about $500 million. An investment into the state of North Dakota, and so we're doing important things here. As Chairman had mentioned, we've got some hurdles to work on with some of the hearing requirements, but I'm confident we're going to get through them and continue to be that nimble and responsive agency that the people deserve. That concludes my comments.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Christman. We have two items on consent in the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right. Thank you, Steve. My first item on the regular agenda, I move the commission reduce the filing fee to $10,000. Suspend the rates and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company Generation Resource Cost Recovery Rates, case number PU-20-91.
Second.
Okay, this is related to Otter Tail's power, their annual requirement, which would be to update their generation resource cost recovery rates, and included in this one is the Astoria Station. That is the 245 megawatt gas plant located in South Dakota that is in part going to replace an aging facility, Hoot Lake, that's located in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. The retirement for Hoot Lake is in 2021, I believe it is in May. Approximately is when they plan to retire that facility. It's a 1950s era coal-fired plant. The coal comes in from the Powder River Basin. It's a 140 megawatt plant, but the replacement is Astoria Gas plant, the Astoria Gas plant, as well as Maricourt Wind Facility located in South Central North Dakota. So that is their plan. The impact to customers on the residential side would be $2.70 per month for an average customer using 1,000 kilowatt hours. On the commercial side, it would be $675. That would be for a large general service customer at 400,000 kilowatt hours. And they are looking to implement this rate on July 1st of this year. And the revenue requirement tied to it is just shy of $6.2 million. So, again, we've talked about those two facilities and the replacement of Hoot Lake, which, again, will be retired on quite a number of occasions, and this would be the rate aspect of it. And the one thing that won't show up in terms of what we're doing as we look at this, and, again, this is something that we still have to process and take a look at the request, but if it does move forward and it is approved, then customers will also see energy savings as a result of it. So that is where it's at. And again, it's a notice of opportunity for hearing should anyone want to weigh in. And if so, they would call the commission office at 701-328-2400. And that concludes my remarks. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Don't we need to vote on this?
Anything further to add in discussion before we vote?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I don't.
Commissioner Christman, anything further to add?
No, thank you.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. I'm sensing no further discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify aye. By saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, thank you, Steve. My next item, I move the commission suspend the tariff filing and reduce the filing fee to $10,000 in Northern States Power Company Light Emitting Diode, LED, Street Lighting Systems, Tariff and Rates, Case Number PU-20-93.
Second.
Okay, this is to, in effect, streamline and clarify the NSP lighting service rates to provide greater access to energy-efficient LED lighting that municipalities use. Sometimes they own those. Sometimes those facilities are owned by NSP itself. And it will help facilitate, again, the conversion to LED lighting, which does have a relatively short payback period when municipalities choose to go that route. So this is, again, to suspend the tariff and filing, our tariff filing, and staff can begin work on analyzing and reviewing the application. And that concludes my remarks. Commissioner Fedorchuk, anything further to add?
I do not.
Commissioner Christman, anything further to add?
Thank you. No, you've explained it well.
Okay. Okay, Steve, our discussion is concluded.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right. Thank you, Steve. And that concludes my agenda items. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
All right. Thank you. I have two items on the agenda today. As Commissioner Christman mentioned, they're both permits for pipelines. So we'll go ahead with the first one. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Denbury Green Pipeline North Dakota LLC, 12-inch Cedar Hills Pipeline Project Slope and Bowman siting application, case number PU-19-294.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. All right. If you'll bear with me, I'm actually reading this one online because I didn't get a printed out version of this. But so on August 8th of last year, Denbury Green filed this application with the commission for a 12-inch carbon dioxide transmission pipeline and associated facilities in Slope and Bowman County. We had a hearing on this project on February 6th in, I believe it was in Bowman, and there was a really, it was in Bowman at the Lodge and Convention Center, and it was well attended by the public. There was a lot of interest in this and a lot of public participation. So Denver Green has filed this application with us. It's for a 17.77 miles of 12-inch inside diameter welded steel pipeline with 9.23 miles in North Dakota. They conducted a number of studies with this project for the cultural resources and natural resources on a 200-foot wide survey area. The project will be capable of transporting up to 180 million standard cubic feet per day of CO2. The estimated cost of the project is $9.2 million, and they would like to have this in service by November of 2020. In terms of the cultural resources and natural resources studies, the State Historic Preservation Office has concurred with a no significant sites affected determination, assuming that the project takes place in the location and manner described in the documentation. Number of state, federal, and local agencies were consulted and solicited for input. The Denver evaluated the survey area and route for exclusion areas, avoidance areas, selection criteria, and policy criteria. Danbury studies and surveys did not record any exclusion areas within the survey area. They did not record any avoidance areas within the survey area either. There are wetlands within the survey area. They identified 5 emergent wetlands totaling less than a half an acre, and they have assured us that the temporary workspaces will be located away, a minimum 50 feet away from any of these wetlands. And once construction is complete, any wetland edges that were impacted will be stabilized, and permanent erosion control measures will be installed if necessary. Denbury has agreed to a number of measures to mitigate potential project impacts. These include the tree and shrub mitigation specifications. They are requesting with this project a deviation from the typical 50-foot clearing that we normally have to go up to 75 feet in very specific areas identified in the map. And they've done an advanced determination of how many trees and shrubs would be impacted. No trees would be impacted. A number of shrubs would be impacted. But if approved, this order would allow them to go to the 75 feet in those specified areas. Let's see. They will be crossing Little Beaver Creek using horizontal directional drilling method. They will participate in the One Call excavation, and they will be designing, constructing, maintaining, inspecting, and operating this pipeline to meet or exceed USDOT Pipeline Hazardous Materials Safety Administration regulations. They're agreeing to follow the recommendations of the Game and Fish in a January 10th letter, and they will inspect and clean equipment upon entry and exit from the job site to limit the spread of noxious weeds. So with that, as I said, there was a lot of public participation in this hearing. Most of it was people were there just to support this project. This project will allow the company to support tertiary oil development increasing extraction in the traditional oil fields in southwest North Dakota. The community, the county, is obviously very interested in that. It will help increase their property tax base. It will help increase their tax base. It's good for the state as well. It's good for the industry to have additional development in the traditional fields, especially in this time where the industry is under, you know, some tough times with prices. And so with that, I think we had a good discussion of this project, and I'm prepared to support it and appreciate the investment this company is willing to make in some of these traditional fields and the communities in the area that are significantly impacted in a positive way by this kind of investment. And that concludes my comments.
Thank you, Commissioner Fedorchak. Commissioner Christman?
Two things. I just want to reemphasize the point where they're having a little bit wider clearance area in a few specified areas. This is not just a convenience, but it's a safety issue for them because of the rough terrain. And so that is why we're allowing that. One other thing that is something learned in this. This is the first CO2 pipeline that we've cited in my time on the commission. And it's a very short pipeline. The North Dakota portion is only a little over 9 miles. And there aren't many residences there. And those that are somewhat close have signed waivers or are participants. And so this is probably a good time to learn it before we potentially have what I hope turns out to be many more CO2 pipelines in the future for that tertiary oil recovery that you talked about, Commissioner Fedorchak. But in discussing the potential for a leak on this pipeline, one of the things that I learned was how quickly the fog could spread and how far and how volatile and dangerous it could be. And so I've talked to our legal counsel and want to start exploring the possibility of potentially a rule or even a suggested legislative change that residences within probably a greater distance of CO2 pipelines need to have that explained to them and sign off on waivers, because CO2 can be a danger for quite a distance. This isn't exactly just like CO2 that someone exhales when they breathe. And that concludes my comments.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Christman. I think it's an exciting project just from a standpoint that it not only will rejuvenate depleted wells by repressuring the reservoir, it really also at the same time will help rejuvenate the economy in towns like Bowman, North Dakota, where we held the hearing. They're heavily reliant on agriculture, and we know that ag is facing an uphill battle right now from a pricing side as well. And when they have their top two industries, oil and gas, as well as agriculture, that the community relies on to move forward, this really has the opportunity, the potential to give a community like that and surrounding communities a real shot in the arm. So I'm excited about the project, and I believe we only have one other CO2 pipeline in the state, and that, I believe, is from the Synfuels plant, and that product moves to Canada and is used in oil fields in Canada. So this would be CO2 that is actually applied to our facilities right here in North Dakota, as well as Montana in that play in the southwestern part of the state, and then it extends into Montana as well. So I'm very excited to see this type of a project in place. I'm pleased as well that the company is making the capital investment to do this. And the next leg on all of this would be to have technology developed so it could also be applied to horizontal wells in the Bakken, and the EERC in Grand Forks is moving forward. They're doing some great work on the research front to try and make that a reality, and it just goes hand in hand with a very important industry segment in North Dakota. So again, very excited about the project. And that concludes my remarks. I'm going to go around one more time. Commissioner Fedorchak, anything further to add?
The only thing I would add is I'm not sure if I mentioned that the hearing was on February 6th, but I just wanted to reiterate that. Just seems like an important point to reemphasize that this hearing was held several months ago when we were allowed to gather in public freely.
All right. Excellent point. Commissioner Christman, anything you would like to add before we go to vote?
Yeah, thank you for coming around one more time, because I just wanted to say my concerns about future CO2 pipelines do not mitigate my exuberance about this project. This is a very rural and short project, as I think I mentioned, and you are right that this has wonderful potential to that area of the state and can hopefully be an example for other areas as they reach maturity in the various oil fields.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Christman. I believe that concludes the discussion, Steve.
Sorry about that. I was muted. We have a motion and a second, and sensing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. My second motion is another pipeline. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in One Oak Bakken Pipeline LLC 16-inch NGL pipeline, Williams County siting application, case number PU-19-368.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. On November of 2019, One Oak Bakken Pipeline LLC filed with the PSC a consolidated application for quarter compatibility route permit for this 16-inch natural gas transmission pipeline in Williams County. On March 6th of this year, we held a hearing in Williston regarding this project. Excuse me. The project consists of approximately 75 miles of 16-inch diameter steel pipeline located entirely in Williams County. The project includes four mainline block valves, one pig launcher facility, one pig launcher with receiver facility, and one pig receiver facility. The project is capable of transporting up to 90,000 barrels of NGLs per day. The project will originate at the Hess Tioga Natural Gas Processing Plant and terminate at an interconnection near One Oak State Line to Riverview NGL Pipeline. And it will skirt by several gas processing facilities along the way to pick up a product. The pipeline has a maximum operating pressure of 1,480 pounds per square inch. The estimated cost of the project is $100 million, and One Oak anticipates a fourth quarter 2020 in-service date for the facility. One Oak conducted all of the desktop and field studies for natural and cultural resources that were required and consulted with federal, state, and local agencies on this project. In their survey areas, they did not record any exclusion areas within the survey area. They did identify a few avoidance areas, which I'll talk about, one of which is areas of potential geological instability. There were five of those areas. They have avoided impacts to one area by shifting the project route. And they're planning to use horizontal directional drilling methods to avoid impacts to three other potentially unstable areas. And then with respect to the fifth area, they believe upon closer evaluation that that area is outside of the project's workspace. However, they will conduct additional review of this area and submit their findings to the North Dakota Geological Survey Agency, and they will update the Public Service Commission with any correspondence with the NDGS on that issue. Another area that is a avoidance area is areas within 500 feet of a residence, school, or place of business. One Oak testified that it identified 20 occupied structures consisting of 19 distinct landowners within the 500-foot exclusion area. They have obtained waivers for, as of yesterday, 15 of these structures and submitted those. One Oak testified that it of the remaining areas, three are commercial, one is private. Actually, I think there's still five remaining areas. One is a business and one is private. And they will submit those waivers to us prior to constructing the project within that feet of 500 feet back, or they will file a route adjustment with the commission to move the route outside of that 500-foot exclusion area. Let's see. Areas containing historic resources are not specifically designated exclusion or avoidance areas, but they did identify a few of those areas in their correspondence with the North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office. And they, the North Dakota SHPO did issue a letter finding that their plan is acceptable, and they concurred with the no significant sites affected determination, provided that One Oak constructs the project as they propose in their application and their correspondence with the SHPO. The project will cross the Little Muddy River and Beaver Creek, and they will avoid impacts of these crossings by using HDD method. The proposed project will affect 682 acres of private land in North Dakota, of which approximately 67% consists of privately owned cropland. 58% of the pipeline will be co-located within the corridor of an existing pipeline. So that was a nice benefit of this project. The company worked hard to locate it in areas that have already been impacted by pipeline development. The project will be designed, constructed, maintained, and inspected to the U.S. DOT Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration regulations. And a supervisory control and data acquisition system will allow One Oak to monitor the pipeline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year by trained controls personnel. With that, let's see. The two conditions that are included in the order are that One Oak shall conduct two additional conditions, I should say, outside of the ones that we typically include, are that One Oak shall conduct an additional review on the one remaining area of potential geologic instability within the project corridor and consult with the North Dakota Geological Survey regarding its review and proposed avoidance measures. One Oak shall submit its consultation with the NDGS to the commission prior to commencing construction in this area. And the second condition is One Oak shall obtain all remaining 500-foot waivers and provide copies to the commission prior to constructing the project on such portion of the project for which the waiver is applicable. And with that, I think that we've completed our review of this project. There was a very thorough discussion at the hearing in Williston last month in March. There was no public opposition expressed or concerns during the hearing. I think that the company has done a very thorough job of this application, and it's a fairly lengthy pipeline, but because they're co-locating more than half of it in existing pipeline corridor, that really mitigated any additional environmental or cultural resources concerns that might come up with a pipeline of this length. And so, you know, assuming the oil industry gets back to its full production in the not too distant future, and this project is a really critical component of the state's infrastructure for gathering and processing natural gas and reducing flaring. So So appreciate the ongoing investment that One Oak and other companies are making in the industry in appropriate environmental processes to use this resource, make the best use of this resource, this valuable energy resource, get it to markets, and help, you know, maximize the benefits of oil and gas production in the state. So looking forward to supporting this project today and hoping that this pipeline is constructed and in service as planned. And that concludes my remarks.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Fedorchak. Commissioner Christman, any remarks?
Just to reemphasize, just this one pipeline would represent $100 million of investment into the state of North Dakota that it was originally planned to all be done this year when jobs are needed very badly. And, you know, these seem to be the kind of jobs that could be done even in this restricted atmosphere that the virus has us living in. And so if the economy allows us to continue to be feasible for One Oak, I'm really excited about this project.
All right, thank you, Commissioner.
I'll just
make just a couple of remarks, and similar in nature to what has already been said. This will greatly enhance natural gas capture in the Bakken, subsequently reducing flaring. And not only is it good from an economic standpoint, it's good from an environmental standpoint as well, and will play a significant role in assisting North Dakota's oil producers meet ever-increasing flaring reduction requirements that continue to ramp up. So it's significant in nature just due to the volume processing capacity that is tied to the project, and I also am ready to support this motion as well. And that concludes my comments. Anything further, Commissioner Fedorchak?
Nothing from me, thank you.
Commissioner Christman?
No, thank you.
Okay, Steve, I believe that concludes the discussion.
We have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you. At this time, we don't have any more other motions to be made as part of the regular meeting. And I'm going to call a recess to take questions from the press. And this meeting is now in recess. So I'm going to just double check or